Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
Oh, say, can you see the dawn's early light? Whoa, so proudly we hailed as the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. That our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star spangled banner.
Yeah. Said, fuck it. So I have to confess, I didn't watch it yesterday. So that was my first time hearing. Oh, she needs to go back to rehab.
It's too much. It's too much, man. Oh, Chaka Khan.
Oh.
That is the legendary, iconic Chaka Khan.
She's back on that stuff.
She's
gotta be.
She sounded like she was drunk.
She's back on it.
She That was the remix of all remixes. That felt like she was like, I gonna halfway sing this song.
I kinda have a melody in mind, but you know what?
I kinda remember the words.
I don't have to finish any of these.
I'm just gonna do these things. And I'm gonna try to get to the notes by running up and down.
And then I'm gonna start back at the beginning and try it again.
And then randomly hit us again. And it's just like, when you think it's over, she hits another. That was shocking. And then people were like, oh, it's because you don't know Chaka Khan. I think I grew up listening to my father would play secular music in the car. Mm-hmm. Because my mother, you know, she had banned secular music from the house.
Right.
So we were very religious. My mother was very religious, even though my daddy was just an old low down dirty dog. So the juxtaposition of those two was like, Oh, I want to ride with Daddy so I can listen to secular music.
Hold up, and you interviewed her.
I did.
So
you know, I was thinking as we were about to play this, I was thinking that we probably need to do a throwback episode coming up soon where we revisit that interview.
Oh, God.
And one of the things in that interview, Chaka Khan was actually, I thought the interview was going to go bad because she took offense to something that I did. And it just made everything awkward.
Was she high?
I think it's a combination going on. I think Chaka Khan has been high or somewhere in between for a long time.
Hmm.
And I don't want to be, you know, I know addiction is a really hard thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's a horrible disease.
But you can be a functioning addict.
Yes. And sometimes she functions and sometimes she doesn't.
Wow.
And I think I think that particular day that I was interviewing her, she just was she had a predisposition to be upset at something I said.
Okay.
And I guess I will explain that. You guys will have to figure out exactly what that was when I talk about it on the throwback episode of Shaka Khan. But that was horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to call a spade a spade. And it's nothing about disrespecting her and her work because she has had an amazing career.
Mm-hmm.
However, she showed up there. If you think about how the Star Spangled Banner would sound if a drunk person sung it.
I mean, I thought that was Fergie's from last year, but
they were battling. I saw one GIF where they had two clowns punching each other trying to figure out who made the worst, Star Spangled Banner performance. They both were shocking in its own ways.
Yeah.
Because what's more shocking with Chaka Khan is that there was moments of, oh, okay, she's going to bring this on home.
No.
And then she doesn't. So you kept getting like your hopes up and let down. Yeah. Hopes up, let down. Hopes up and let down. And then at the end, she just blows your head off. It's just like, oh, well,
okay.
Well, fuck. If I heard that, I would have been like, oh, I'm just going to go home.
No, for real. How do you even play after that?
I'm just going to take my black ass home. I was like, I got to go. I like, this is just, and... Didn't they cut to the players' faces?
I can only imagine.
And the players were like looking at each other like, you hear this? It was.
And what do you do?
That's the funniest. I don't know.
I forbid you like sit down or you know what I mean? Like, what do you do?
It was a situation. She had definitely done a combination of things before she came to sing that. I didn't watch the game. I had forgotten that All-Star Weekend was this weekend.
Yeah, me too, until it was here.
That's how much I have tuned out of all of these things. And I was like, I will say this, however. Jennifer Hudson, the way she, when I tell you she sung, she sung me back to slavery.
Oh, fuck. Was that a good thing?
I felt the ancestors.
Okay.
I felt the ancestors were speaking through her. It was just, it was such a guttural, passionate, emotion invoking, a performance. And then she kept saying, amen. And she kept saying it, and it was so beautiful. And I actually had this conversation not too long ago with one of my friends. And it's because, I never understood why my mother would say, help me, Lord.
My mom said that to me all the time.
Or she just says it randomly. My mom would start saying it randomly throughout the day. She's like, help me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus. And I would be thinking to myself, that's kind of like, why are you doing that? Is that like a little...
How much help do you need?
I'm like, is that Tourette's? Is that you keep repeating this throughout the day? And these last couple of years, do you know what I have found myself doing?
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord. And I had to call my mother and apologize for not understanding why she was calling on the Lord.
Mm.
Because when you are dealing with a level of stress and the level of shit that has been thrown at all of us these last couple of years, all you can do is call upon the Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Father.
Yeah. The reason why I brought it up to one of my friends is because, she basically, I don't think that the person meant any harm, but her husband kind of had mocked me one day. So I was on the phone with her and he was, in the background, he said, help me, Lord. He was making fun of it. And that had kind of rubbed me, I was like, oh, okay. But I used to do that to my mother. And when you don't understand something, you're very likely to make fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole conversation, but I wanted her to know, but in a roundabout way, that number one, I was calling on the Lord because that's how I was raised and my mother would say it. And now I'm calling on the Lord because I actually do need him. And and also because of what's going on in her life in different situations, she might need to call on the Lord
call him too. Hello?
Okay. Because now what I realize now, that is more of an affirmation. It is also a connection. You do need the Lord's help. But it's also I'm affirming, Lord, please, I do want, please help me. Let it be a continuous help.
Right.
Because it's continuous bullshit going on. And yes, I can talk about the Lord and say
bullshit
too.
At the same time.
And don't talk about, don't tell me about my relationship with the Lord.
Hey, I wasn't. You know me, I cuss in my prayers. So.
Not you, I'm saying the listeners. You know how they get.
Yeah.
B was talking about the Lord, but he said bullshit. So, You know, and that's why what touched me so much about Jennifer Hudson's performance is that sometimes something as simple as saying, Amen, it's kind of like that. You know, like when you say a prayer, Amen is the ending of it. It is the final chapter of what you're trying to communicate with the Lord and with, you know, others and, you know, just fellowshipping. And her saying it was kind of like it's the final chapter of Kobe and his daughter. And it was so beautiful to me. And, you know, there have been times where Jennifer Hudson, I felt like she, like, you know, she's doing too much. It's, you know, oh my goodness, is screaming. That performance was amazing. It was just, I think she has, you know, kind of like I said in the other episode about how Jennifer Lopez over the years had perfected her entertainment, performance ability. I believe that Jennifer Hudson, because I had not seen her perform in quite some time. I think she has now perfected her delivery. She
probably after doing that Aretha documentary.
And she,
or movie, biopic, whatever.
She I feel like she's now, she's put in some, she can be subtle and then also ramp it up. It's kind of like how Mariah was saying, like, you know, people want me to belt all the time. She said, but that's boring.
Right.
Belting, she's like, if I belted a song from A to Z, all, every song.
She'd be Demi Lovato. Sorry.
So she's saying, you know, I gotta switch it up. That's why Mariah does a whole whisper thing. You gotta build to it. And Jennifer's poem was amazing. So I give her that. And then, like, it's just a lot. It was like they were messing with my emotions because Chaka Khan just fucked shit all up. Then Jennifer Hudson came and gave me all emotional, connected me to slavery and the ancestors. And then I did also like that the fact that they gave that little girl, you know, the girl who made up that whole little dance.
Oh, yeah, the renegade.
The renegade thing. Because what happened was she made up the dance and then all these white people ran off and took it.
And remixed it.
And remixed it and got all this fame and followers and she got nothing.
Zero.
But however, God saw fit to correct that. Because now she's getting all of the attention and including the two girls who basically,
gentrified it.
Did a video with her, trying to ungentrify it, but also just open it up to her audience, to their audiences. And I thought that was really sweet. And she was there at the All-Star game and she did her little dance there. And she's so cute. I was like, you know, if I could dance like that, I would do it. But
you could do it.
I could do it.
Anybody.
It was cute. It was really cute. So that being said, I mean, that's the ins and outs of the All-Star game. I didn't watch the game. I don't really care for basketball unless it's UNC versus Duke. I went to UNC and, I am going.
Are you going back there?
I'm going back to speak. I am going back to speak at UNC Chapel Hill. The beautiful thing about it is when I was going to UNC Chapel Hill, there was not a lot of visible LGBT people, especially Black LGBT. And I think it's really important during that time period, I wish I had someone like myself that I could see that has become successful, that it does get better, that showing you that even if you're in a situation, because, you know, UNC Chapel Hill, it is conservative.
Yeah.
It's this conservative and very white. And it's not, when I was there, I didn't feel like it was LGBT friendly at all.
It probably wasn't.
And most people kind of kept it to themselves. And, you know, and I did for a minute and then I came out and all the way out.
boom, bitch.
Hi-ya! All type of stuff was going on at that time. But, you know, it just feels really surreal. I never, one of my best friends, who's now a cardiologist in New York, I was telling him about this and he texted me. He was like, if somebody would have said to you back then when you were at that school, that you would have a very successful celebrity news entertainment business, that you would, you know, and that you would be going back there after all these years to be asked to speak, you know, he mentioned, because it's like he knew back then how big Mariah was to me and how now we're like BFFs, you know what I mean? He's like, if someone could tell you all these things would have happened in your life and that you would be, of all people, asked to come back to speak, they would have thought you were insane if I had said that at the time. Mm-hmm. So it is a beautiful moment. So that's going on.
That's good. When is that?
I don't know the day.
Okay.
I think it's the 28th
of
March.
Okay.
That's right around my birthday, so I had to think about that. Yeah, I got to figure out how I'm gonna do that.
I have to finesse.
I got to figure out how I'm gonna do that. So I'll probably, you know, come up from Miami or something. That'll be an easier type of moment.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't know. I might need Miami after North Carolina because North Carolina drains me like no other going into like, you know, because Miami is a rest state too. But not Miami. Florida is a rest state too. But Miami is very, you know, liberal.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, well, the part
the
that I go
that
to.
The parts that you go to. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I go to South Beach and, you know, the little art district moment, design district. So, yeah. So, like, maybe I need to do that after. We'll see. Maybe I do it before and after.
Maybe both. Maybe you go and then dip up to North Carolina and then dip back down.
Because in North Carolina, the part that I live in, because, I mean, if I go, I'm going to go to UNC Chapel Hill and speak, but I'm also going to go see my mother.
Yeah.
But that part is just, like, really repressive. And it's dilapidated. And it's like, I feel like last time I went for my father's funeral, it was just like, everything was shut down.
It took like a week to kind of recover from that.
It did.
Too.
It hurt my spirit.
It did.
It's like, everything was closed. It was just like, just like, I mean, Main Street was Dunn Street.
Damn.
It was just, you know, and just people go to Walmart and hang out in the parking lot and just, and I also felt the lack of opportunity. It just really... really resonated with me that everything happens for a reason, because had I not been different, had I not been gay and, you know, never fit in and, you know, mixed race and all these other things, I think I would have got comfortable. I think that I would have never felt the need to leave like I did because I didn't fit in and people were picking on me and bullying me and stuff. And so, but thank God. Right. Now going back is like, Jesus Christ. Like, I mean, what did y'all do?
How did a parent have babies?
Y'all are forsaken. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, people have literally left the building. And I feel bad for these communities because I do believe their best and brightest have left. And I think that's a part of a lot of these communities, not just my community, but a lot of these communities across the country, especially in middle America, feel left behind.
Yeah.
They feel left behind by the best and brightest that have moved on to these big liberal cities, and they feel like that we are telling them what to do. Because I come from it, I can see both sides of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, and they feel very talked down to, you know, and I just think that, you know, it was going to be an interesting experience. I'm going to go back and try to make it through it and, you know, pack me some, you know, I might be like Chaka Khan.
Well, you would have to be. You would have to be. Bombs bursting in air.
Bomb bursting, because baby. Speaking of people and, you know, being like Chaka Khan, Wendy Williams.
What about her?
She is just stepping in shit every other day.
Well, seems fitting.
She is stepping in shit every other day.
In
so
the size 15s. That she wants men to stop wearing, apparently.
She the other day, it went from when the whole Zaya situation came out, and I think we talked about it in the last podcast, right?
I think so, briefly.
Is it Zaya or Zaya?
Zaya.
Zaya. Okay, so Zaya, basically, Dwayne Wade did an interview talking about how he loves and accepts his daughter, who recently, to us, I mean, but to them was like some time ago, came out as transgender. And that was beautiful. It was really touching. I'm so happy that imagery has been put out in the world, because we need more Black men supporting their children, however their children chooses to express themselves. Beautiful. Wendy gets on television, she supports that, and basically said, if you have anything negative to say about them, you should, you know, go somewhere or something. She, you know, she did a little fake cry thing.
Yeah, it was like a really kind of poignant moment for Wendy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look at you, Wendy.
Oh, it's wonderful. Then she turns around the next day and says that men, you know, men shouldn't be wearing dresses. Leave our dresses.
Our skirts and our heels.
Our skirts and our heels alone. Okay. And I see a lot of people, what I'm not going to do, because I am a member of the LGBT, and, you know, depending upon the day, you know, it just, you know, how my gender expresses itself is very, it's
fluid.
It's fluid. So what I'm not going to do is make some of the jokes that I've seen in regards to Wendy.
Oh, like the one I just made?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I know you made one by saying, but like, I mean, we're not just going to spell it out, that part, because...
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely not.
Because that's not who we are. And also because it's just irrelevant to the fact of like, Wendy, her whole career has been helped by gays.
Mm-hmm.
Her audience, her fans, her viewers are gay.
Her persona.
Her persona is gay. And but I'm going to get to a part, I'm going to get to the part where it's going to bring it on home. I got some new information too.
Okay.
So she basically got up and said that. And she said, you know, basically, and she stuck to it. She came back later in the show and doubled down on it. Mm-hmm. Basically saying, basically to the most part saying, like, gay men need to stop being women, trying to be like women, dress like women, look like women, all of that. She's not with it, right? No matter, you know, she said something about the period. So you don't have a cycle, right?
Right. She was basically saying that there are certain things about being a woman that a gay man can never go through, so stop. She takes offense to that.
Okay. And then less than 24 hours, she's back apologizing. Mm-hmm. She's crying. She says she's going to do better. That's not what she meant. This, that, and the other. Come to find out from what, this is exclusive information. This is the lovebeastscott.com exclusive. We still need that sound.
I think you just do it live every time.
Every time. That was a struggle. I didn't feel like saying it. That was the most tired ass Chaka Khan version of lovebeastscott.com exclusive I've ever done. So basically what I've heard is that she actually still feels that way.
I'm sure she does.
That's how she really feels. She really, even though she apologized and cried about it, she still feels that way about gay men. That gay men need to not wear women's clothing and heels and not try to be that. That's how she feels.
Which is wild to me.
Which is also wild because people don't even know their history. I mean, men used to wear heels and dresses before women did, actually. Mm. If you go back and look at your history. So it's funny for people to tell people how they should be dressing. And it's like, and I think it's a combination of what I think is happening is that she is high on some days, and so high on certain days that she literally snaps out of character. Mm. She tells how she really feels. And that is true. I do believe, I'm a firm believer, if you want to know how somebody really feels about you, get them drunk.
Oh, for sure.
It'll come out that what you think that you, how they really feel, get them drunk or get them mad.
Or both.
Oh, both.
Get them drunk and mad.
They really going to light your ass up. And so that particular day, I think Wendy was just high. She's doing something. It makes no sense. Okay? So I am a firm, like, and also when people say something like that, and then they double down on it again, even though they had a little while to think about it. That is who she is. And getting into, that's how, and I would never let her forget, and anybody who follows her forget, the how you doing.
How you doing?
How you doing? And came when she suspected that somebody was gay and in the closet. Mm-hmm. She would mock them. That's a very stereotypical gay thing to do. How you doing? Mm-hmm. Who the fuck talks like that, Wendy?
Wendy.
Who the fuck's a how you doing? I don't know. You know, I've done many videos on YouTube and everything. Y'all love muffins and never heard me sound like, how you doing, love muffins? How you doing? Oh my goodness. Ooh. That was mocking us.
For sure.
And so that's how she truly feels. And then she thinks we stupid enough. It never was lost on me that now has been, what do you call it? Mainstream, you know, or that has been gentrified, I think, because that was very specific for her black audience, very specific for them when she was on the radio, and she would do that when she was questioning men's sexuality in a derogatory, negative way. And now everyone does it as if it's like
a greeting.
A greeting, like it's fun. How you doing, Wendy?
Right.
Oh my God, Wendy, how you doing?
It's just best for me to be quiet right now.
So Wendy needs it. I mean, the show needs to be canceled. It's done. It's done enough. And then today, what I saw was even more disturbing. The, what's his name? Drew Carey?
Emily Drew Carey's fiance.
Drew Carey's ex-fiance was murdered by her ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. He broke into her apartment and he threw her off of the balcony.
Yeah.
And she died on the third floor. They found her, unconscious, tried to revive her. She did not come back. And then Wendy made a joke about it.
Sure did.
What the hell, Wendy? Like,
she don't even know.
What are you good for? Like, this is, you have to draw the line. Like, I cannot continue to do this with her. You know, and we have been, in recent months, we have been trying to be very positive with her. Like, not very positive, but we've been posting.
We've been fair.
Yeah, we've been posting, like, good things she says or, you know, different little moments she got right or whatever. We've been trying to push that. But you are now making a joke about a woman who got murdered from domestic violence. And then that's on the heels. No pun intended, but pun intended. Heels of you making all these, for no reason, going in on the people, the very people that support you. Who do you think the majority of her fans are?
Hello?
When we were going in on Wendy Williams, revealing information about how her husband was cheating on her with a mistress and got that mistress pregnant and she sent us that cease and desist order with typos, who do you think was going in her defense? It was the gays.
Mm-hmm.
The black gays were supporting her and doubting my information, which turned out to be 100% correct. That's your support group. And you're going to smack them in the face. You spit it. She spit them in the face. That's why her and Nene are friends. They like to spit.
Yeah.
that was a verbal spit and slap in the face.
It angered me. Like, yeah. It angered me.
Yeah, I have a right. If I want to right now, if I want to go put on a ball gown, I should have a right to wear that ball gown. And trust and believe I can walk better in a pair of heels than Wendy ever could.
Well, there's that too.
So, I mean, I'm confused as to what is the parameters of why people should wear certain things. Because, I mean, I have seen a lot of women that can't do it well either. So you can't sit here and judge us by the gay men that don't do it well. You know what I mean? Or whatever your classification of well is.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah, like, she was talking about Billy Porter, I think, right?
Well, I mean, it sounded like it to me. She had him on her show.
Yeah.
And he's the only one that really comes to mind in recent memory. Yeah. Who's, you know,
so I think it was
like
in
that.
Some way in reference to him. Billy Porter has a right to do whatever he wants to do.
As does she.
Yes.
Like, she, you know.
And I'm tired of people who are not fashionable talking about fashion of any sort. Or what anything that somebody's wearing. That's the reason why I can't sit there and watch. I mean, quite honestly, I can't watch. No, I'm not going to be specific because that will be a shitstorm. I'm just saying, like, it's been a lot of stuff that I see that people have no business talking about. When you're not fashionable, you have no reason to be talking about fashion.
Period.
And much less talking about who was the best and worst dressed. I'll be damned. Say that again. You gonna talk about best and worst dressed and you are no dressed? Like, you know, a lot of times the people who critique these situations have no perspective.
None. No credentials.
Not even the best or worst. It's just no perspective. And that's how I just feel about Wendy. It's like, pick a side and stick to it.
She can't.
And that bothered me. That really bothered me. I was like, damn it. Right when we trying to like be some more supportive of her, here she goes.
The nerve.
And speaking of the nerve.
The nerve.
We, you know, it's been so many things going on. And in recent months, you know, we have made a conscious decision because I have laid off of a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those people, even though it keeps, how can I put it? Like, we have laid off, but people, they still want to bring it up in discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So we laid off of Nene.
We did.
We still talk about her every show. But I'm saying, but we laid off.
We laid
in
off
terms
like
of,
the non like public like show
yeah.
stuff,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not bringing anything else new to the table.
No, we stopped the dragging.
Yeah.
So we stopped the drag. And also, you know, that whole situation is really fucked up because, you know, because of what she did and the situation she put her team in, she has, I believe she's destroyed a situation. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
she destroyed something that it was actually, that meant something to me.
Mm.
So now that now is created another issue that I will address off, you know, off yeah. camera, but it's just like, or off podcast, off mic, but it's like, that's really fucked up because of what she did. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because of this. Sometimes you put a chain of events in motion that causes collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that has their feelings hurt is, collateral damage, and is damage I feel bad about.
Right.
But there's no way that I could let her get away with doing what she was trying to do to me out of principle without me responding the way I did. Because of what she did, you know.
She forced her hand.
Yeah, they reached out to me to run a damn note that nobody cared about. And then she got on television and did what she did.
Yeah.
And then I had to do what I did. I was like, okay, it came from her team. And then now I have this collateral damage where I do feel bad about
something related to
the situation.
Yeah.
And Nene probably didn't give two halves of a shit. Because she's not, I mean, she's not playing this whole game well. So basically what happened is last night was the first episode after she had been absent. And so she was absent and she was last night. And actually last night's episode did not make her look good at all.
Not at all.
So it's not just about her being cut from the episodes that she doesn't appear in or her absence from the episodes she doesn't appear. It's also the episodes that she is there. They make her, like, she's not looking good.
Mm-mm. Showing up with 40 grandmas.
That nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
Talking about, these are the people she hang out with.
These are the entrepreneur ladies that I surround myself with.
Why are they entrepreneuring?
Mary Kay. Avon.
So then she gets wind that King is going to be on the Watch What Happens Live. Mm-hmm. And so she starts live tweeting like a fan. So she tweets into the show and asks Andy to ask Kenya, why is Kenya going around and saying that they're phasing Nene out? She said, because if that's the case, no one has told me this. Okay, play the clip.
Nene tweeted in a question for you.
Oh, really? So she's a fan now?
Yes, she's a fan.
Okay.
She wants to know why you're doing press saying Bravo's phasing her out. She said, it's not true. She's great.
Oh, well, then I guess she would need to ask Bravo why they're cutting her out of many episodes this season.
Well, I mean,
I'm not the one behind the editing, you know, I'm not the one doing the editing and figuring out the show.
Okay, so. But you're saying that she's being phased out?
Well, I say I think she is. That's not something that I can absolutely say.
Okay.
I mean, if you're being cut out of episodes,
I mean, what do you
clearly
feel?
The sign is you're not as
But I don't think she's being cut out of episodes because I think everything that was shot with Nene is in the show.
Well.
We're not cutting anything out.
Well, you may not be, but
to around?
Me,
are you saying she wasn't
I'm
there?
Saying everything that we shot, everything that we shot with it, there's nothing that's been left out.
He's stuck.
What can he say?
He's stuck.
What can he say?
Because, and also how he handled the whole suspension thing.
Yeah.
It was like, it's what you're not saying that's a problem. And what the issue is that he's basically saying that, like, so whatever they shot with her, they are using.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just not shooting enough with her that she appears in every episode. So they're not shooting enough with her that so it wouldn't come across as like it's a noticeable absence.
Right.
This is a noticeable absence from the show. So she has, in essence, been cut because she's been cut from being in every episode because she's saying that they've already negotiated fewer episodes. Apparently, that's what happened. So apparently, she's saying that she negotiated from the beginning, which I do not believe.
At all.
Fewer episodes. Because the thing is, if you had already negotiated that from the beginning, a fewer episodes, so why are you pretending like you're mad about every episode they don't see you in? Or that she doesn't see herself in?
That is true.
You know
she does get on and tweet she about gets, how another that, episode without me.
Exactly.
You know, this is the real premiere because I wasn't in there. If you were cool with it from the jump, then you would be cool with it from the jump.
Exactly. If you were cool with it from the jump and that was negotiated, you would say that from the jump and say, this is what we negotiated. So why are you mad about something you negotiated? You're mad about it because this is not what you wanted to negotiate.
No.
This is what they gave you and you accepted it. Because you still need this money to make your whole life go around because you don't have anything else going on. And so that is the proof of the pudding. It's like kind of like me being mad about something that I agreed to.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, so like that alone. And then what Andy was doing, he was just
placating, basically.
He was placating and he was trying, like, it's nice to see him in the hot seat for once.
He was like, we're using everything we're filming.
Yeah.
Well, and if that's what you're filming in Nene, then I don't know how.
Yeah, and which means that they're just filming less of her, which means that she's being phased out or she's not as important. And when she is there, they're playing her. So that's a very distinct message for me. And that's why when we ran the story, we didn't put no stank on it.
Mm-mm.
On the website, we just put up, you know, Andy sets the record straight about Nene Leakes' absence while talking to Kenya Moore, ? And everybody gets it. Even the people who like her know that, like, you know bullshit.
You can't
when you
do
see
a Real Housewives without Nene Leakes, allegedly.
Right, and they're doing it.
And they're doing it.
They're doing it.
So
let me read some of these comments. There was one
do
good
with
comment.
That what you
it was
will.
A good comment here that I wanted to read from the Facebook page. The Facebook page, for those of you love moms that don't follow, you need to follow us. Facebook.com/LoveBScott. It is good. These comments just get me so good sometimes. I tell you.
And that brunch.
Say what?
That was horrible. That brunch she did last night?
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
He said, if you watched NeNe's last video last night, NeNe said after the first three episodes, she would have been included in all of them since she did a lot of filming. Seems to me like either Andy or NeNe is lying. They both are trying to outsmart Kenya by covering their ass.
Well,
it was another good comment. I don't know where it is. I mean, it's crazy when we go there. It's like all these hundreds of comments. I'm like, wait, I can't find it.
Can't get back to it.
I need to start screenshotting this. So I mean, it just to me, it's funny to see people not call a spade a spade. Mm-hmm. And you need to just call it. Like, it's obvious. It's like, if you are the queen of the show, you will be in every episode. If you had the upper hand in the situation, you would have negotiated. What in what world would you negotiate less episodes, which means less money?
Hello.
That is a fact. No housewife gets paid just like for a whole season. They get paid per episode they're featured in. They are removing NeNe's money. And so NeNe's trying to say that she agreed to less money from the very beginning.
Make her the highest paid housewife, if that were the case.
Right.
Right.
It said in another comment was that Andy answer didn't really address why NeNe isn't shown as much. She's shown like a friend to the show and not like a peach holder. So yeah, maybe they're showing everything they shot, but based on the number of appearances, they haven't shot much. So people, you know what's funny too? Like, I think sometimes celebrities and people in the business think that people are dumber than they are.
Mm-hmm.
But my love muffins ain't dumb. Because they get it. They are going. Someone said, set the record straight. His whole argument is a fail. Talking about every scene that, I'm not going to call her a derogatory name. Every scene that NeNe shot made the show. They didn't cut anything. Child, we all know that every scene didn't make the show. So how all of a sudden all the NeNe scene made the show? It's obvious y'all are done with her. She knows it as well. Seems as if the ambulance chaser got them scared or something. Ha ha.
Well,
I just find it's like, you know, certain situations are very apparent. And I like, you know, it feels so good to get the vindication of like, oh, wow. Well, even when people trying to cover their ass, it still shows that everything we said is true.
I mean, what gets to me is like they're not even spreading what they did film with her out mm-hmm. to even make it seem. Like, none of her scenes are related, mm-hmm. right? Like, the scene where she sat down with Marlo and she was like, you know, Cynthia sent me this. That could have easily been cut into the last episode to give her an appearance in that episode.
So but that way, and the thing, if she got an appearance, they would have to cut her a check.
Correct. So they're choosing not to do that for a reason.
Yep. They are specifically excluding her from entire episodes in order for not to pay her rate.
Right.
Whatever her per episode rate is. And that's a fact. And everybody knows it. It's like, it's so apparent. Like, it's like, and it's interesting because, I mean, like, they are getting those OGs up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Because those OGs have now turned into monsters. Literal monsters. Where do you want to go now? We have, like, I feel like there's been so much going on upon the world that I feel like we just need to go to the website and just
run them down.
Run them down. I thought that Adele's album's coming out in September.
She said that.
She said she's coming out in September. I can barely recognize Adele.
Me neither. I like when they show videos of her, I'm like, which one is Adele?
I
never know.
I don't know what it's going to mean. Is she going to do like a pop album? She's going to be dancing now? Like, what is
it? I would hope, because she can't give us another thing.
I can't do another doom and gloom.
Me neither.
I need some.
In 2020.
Not this year. That's already started off like a continuation of 2019. We need like, I need like an upbeat.
Mm-hmm. Give some house music, though.
Some house music? Oh, that would be nice.
Kind of fire. Neo and his wife, Crystal Smith, have split.
Ain't karma, bitch.
Well, I thought her name was Crystal.
Because all he did, the woman he was with before was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
He had her, like, then the woman before, what's her name, Moyata? Manyata, Shaw, whatever her name is. What's her name? What's her damn name?
I think you're right. That's why I'm laughing. I think you're right.
Because she had her, he had talked her into like burning her ovaries.
Her tubes tied, and then he went and had a baby.
Two babies, right? Didn't he have two with this new lady or something?
That's right. That's accurate.
So it's sad. I was like, you did her wrong. You made her believe that she's the one and you were going to marry her and all this stuff. And then you made her basically sacrifice her womb.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went out and shortly thereafter found this woman. And then now he's, you know, it's like, it's and I was watching an interview and he was saying that, you know, she got her demons and he has his. I said, y'all talking about demons? You done demonized her?
Jesus.
Because when they were together, they were all over the internet with an S, you know, pretending like they are just so happily in love with each other.
Well. Yeah, Kalani and YG. No longer together.
The way they are breaking up to make up, I just want them to make up their damn mind.
They don't know.
I'm just like, I'm tired of it. It's like they go on back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
They don't know.
You know somebody that I like together, though, is Cardi and Offset.
Do you?
I do. They honestly they look fit. Like they fit and they, you know what I mean? It's like some hood love.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
There's some hood love. And she looks just as happy as she can be. You know?
Oh.
What?
We have not talked about Mr. Smollett.
Oh my.
We haven't hit that.
Oh, we need to play that clip of it, you know, tell the truth.
That's my song.
Tell the truth.
Well, apparently he's gonna have to.
He's been re-indicted.
Indicted with six new charges.
Six new charges.
Disorderly conduct. Disorderly conduct? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They charged his ass with basically lying and lying some more.
Mm-hmm.
And lying again.
Mm-hmm.
So six indictments worth of lying.
Mm-hmm.
And so for make people understand this, the only reason that Mueller did not indict Trump was because he was the president of the United States. When a special prosecutor is brought in to analyze what's going on, well, a lot of times they have for like probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reason why these resources, because a special prosecutor is still them allocating money that because a special prosecutor has to be paid.
Right.
Guy like Mueller.
It's an investigation.
Yes, investigation. And he ran up all these bills.
Right.
So this special prosecutor has to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to have enough cause for them to be paid this amount of money to investigate what has happened. And the reason why they're investigating this case, and people are like, why don't they leave it alone? I don't know why people still talking about it. Because Jesse did not apologize. Jesse did not own it. Jesse got off and then came out and did a press conference, you know,
gloating
and declaring his innocence as if we are all boo-boo the fools. And there was, you know, the thing is, the tick-tick boom about it is that it was some community service, alleged community service that I don't think he ever did. He did it with the Rainbow Coalition or some shit, where that was the exchange, you know what I mean? Like there was
that and $10,000.
And $10,000, that is the admission of guilt, right, if you want to, you know, in the eyes of what they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't good enough because he turned right back around and not only did he not apologize, he declared his innocence. Then he sued, I think he's suing the police department in Chicago. He's suing a couple of different people.
Well, they're suing him.
And he's suing them.
And he's counter-suing.
Yeah. So now he got these indictments. Yeah. And it's six of them. Right? And it's just, to me, I do believe he needs to be held accountable for how he played all of us.
Yeah.
He literally single-handedly gave Republicans and Donald Trump what they needed to prove fake news.
Mm-hmm.
He created it himself. This whole time, Trump has been saying fake news, fake news. The Democrats and liberal people make up fake news all the time. They run with it. They make up these stories. And I was like, he just shut his ass up. He is so wrong. I can't believe he's doing it. Here comes Jesse. Proving that Trump and the Republicans were right. And not only that, then every major politician in the history of politicianism.
I think it'll be politics.
In the history of politicianism, came out to support him. Everybody, Nancy Pelosi and Biden.
Kamala Harris.
And everybody. I think Michelle Obama.
Obama.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, supported him, believed him, was emotionally distressed by all the things that happened to him. I'm saying, like, you know, and the crazy thing about it is, like, you know, he, at the time this was happening, he had to be high and crazy. Because all the things happened. All the things can't possibly happen to one person. He had all the LGBT hate crimes. He had all the gay
N-word crimes
and nooses and bleach and everything. He still had his subway. And what people fail to realize is that this is the part that didn't really resonate with people. They recently, not too long ago, seized and subpoenaed a whole year's worth of Google information.
Mm.
Not only for Jesse, but also for Frank Gaston.
Oh, shit. Oh, they got his Google?
They got everything.
Oh, God. I don't even.
A whole year's worth of it. Because from the article that... And so, because if I read the article correctly, that Frank was his manager at the time.
Wasn't he the one who actually called?
Yes. And that's what they said in the article. That he was the one who called, and he was the one that adjusted his noose around his neck in disdain because it wasn't positioned correctly.
Right.
These articles have been key. There's been some kikis. If y'all want to go and really kiki, go and read the ABC Chicago's stories about this. The last 5 to 7 just a little kiki. And full of information. So many like decadent little pieces of nuggets of like chi. And so basically they subpoenaed a whole year's worth from Jesse. Mm-hmm. And basically I think a whole year's worth from Frank Gaston. And that is a part of what they decide to indict him on. So they have all the text messages and everything in between.
So what gets to me is people are saying that because of this, they think that he's going to just go ahead and plead guilty because he doesn't want this to go to a full-blown trial.
I don't want this to go.
And have all of this information out there, you know, like...
All the nasty little things he was doing.
Yeah.
And then the brothers are pleading with him. They have a new video. It's on the website where it's a new video of them. TMZ caught them walking somewhere. TMZ always catch somebody walking somewhere. With their attorney, no less. Pleading with Jesse to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the truth.
And they said they'll go and testify if they need to.
And I have more information. I have so much information that comes to me just like a normal conversation. I forget it. Jesse's working on new music. He is working on new music and he's sharing that music with other people. He's playing them some new songs that he has been working on. He's been in the studio laying down some beats.
Is he going to sing his confession?
Of all the things he needs to be doing, if he does have some type of comeback situation, is definitely not singing. I will not stand by and listen to any of that anymore. His shit didn't work music-wise when he had a hit show behind him. You have the biggest show on television behind you, and the whole show was about, damn it, music. The whole show Empire was about music. They were working with the best producers in the land and still couldn't get him a hit. Still couldn't get him like a top anything. It was just like it was kind of like it would go on on iTunes and get bounced off. It was like it would reject it.
Basically.
Did the system reject it? I'm serious. Like, you have the hit show behind you. They played a song on television to millions of people. Did it work? Did it count towards?
That was drip, drip, drop, drop. And that wasn't even his.
And then the other one, the girl songs. Look at my body, look at my honey. Sexy, don't I look sexy?
Banger.
Yeah. Look at my body.
But not Jesse's.
Jesse, I remember that's when I went to the year that I had, 2 years after BET did what they did, whatever. And I went back 2 or 3 years and I went with Laverne. Mm-hmm. We were sitting in the front row. I was sitting right next to Rihanna and Laverne was on the other side of me. And Empire people, it's right when the show was at its height.
They did the thing.
Yeah, they did the thing. They came out and everybody was out their seat for Yaz. Mm. Or Yaz, whatever his name is, Yaz. And they were like, yeah, everyone was up drip and everything, drip dropping. You know what I mean? And like, I think it's the truth be told, I had broken the strap on my shoe. Okay. And one of my feet was shrimping.
See, Wendy tried to tell you. Stop wearing them heels.
Fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. Fuck you. Seriously. Kiss my ass. So I had one of my straps on my shoe had broken and my foot had slid out and it was shrimping. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to stand up or bring attention to it. So once I got to my seat, I was sitting down. But I did because Laverne kept popping up. You know what I mean? Laverne was feeling it. You know, she's festive and she's dancing and she's like getting her moment and everything. But I couldn't sit down beside her because like that would make me look bad in terms of she's standing up for some people not.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, trying to stand up with my broken shoe and everything. And I did for Jesse. And then I did for Yaz. And then when Jesse came out, everybody sat down. I was like, great, perfect. I can sit down because everybody sat down. But she wanted to stand up and still do all that for Jesse. But when I tell you the whole audience sat down when Jesse came out.
Wow.
Like it was like, like the whole, the, like it's like, and he was not singing like a slow song. It was just.
Bless him.
And that's when I knew, I was like, this is never going to stick for you, buddy.
Well, shout out to his sister, though. She did really good in Birds of Prey.
I enjoyed it.
She did that.
I enjoyed her and the whole, and the movie was good to me. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the movie. Oh, we got to talk about
the photograph.
So, okay. So, yeah, I hope Jesse needs to be held accountable for what he did. And I also find it hilarious that, he's talking to everybody but me. Mm-hmm. He's talking to all my friends.
Well, do you blame him?
Yeah, I do. I do blame him because the thing is, you know, I could actually have helped him.
Yeah.
I could have.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. But in the beginning, I would have, if he had talked to me, I would have tried to talk some sense into him. Mm-hmm. I would have reasoned with him. I was like, okay, get off that shit. You know what I'm saying? Give me all your drugs. You know, like, I'm going to stay here for the next 24 hours so I can see that you're not on that stuff. So that way I can have at least a hope of possibly having a sane conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, no, you need to apologize. All he had to do was go there and say, hey, did a national press conference and say, I was high. I am sorry. And I'm truly sorry. And here you go, Chicago. Here's $100,000 towards restitution, towards what I have done. And I'm going to rehab for 6 months. By now, he would already have been on his rebound.
Okay.
He would have already been like getting
Good
his first
America, little... doing mm-hmm. his little interviews.
Yep. He would already be back going into, you know...
Something
productive. Hopefully, another TV thing. Because before Empire, or right around the same time as Empire, he was on Revenge. Remember he was popping up in Revenge?
Oh, yeah. Was he?
Yeah. He was popping up in Revenge. He was like there for like a...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
An episode or two. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, he's really getting serious. And I liked him in Revenge. I liked him on Empire as well. And it's just interesting now. It's like it won't end. Like, that's the thing about it. Like, this is how I feel like about 2020. It's like we have a feeling like, oh, okay, 2019, when the December 31st and January 1st happens, the shift happens, we think there's a real shift. We think that, oh, everything happened 2019 is over. Oh, hell no. 2020 is a prime example. Mm-hmm. That this has been, like, this is the extended version, extreme edition. Jesse won't, not only will he not go away, he came back with 6 more indictments.
Back into the court.
And I did notice that one of the brothers had lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, that stress is real. Because the one that was big, the one who was a fighter, and the swollen one is not swollen anymore. He is like a bobblehead.
Yeah.
The other was, and maybe what happened is maybe the other one, they deal with stress differently because the other one's gained some weight. Mm-hmm. So he's...
Didn't they get back into like fighting or...
One of them definitely been eating and the other one has not.
Well, it'd be like that.
So. What else do we want to... the photograph. Okay. The photograph.
Give me your thoughts. They've been mixed.
So I would say this. I have not been, and as you know this, mm-hmm. I have not been a person that had watched Insecure. Like, that's not been my thing. Like, I haven't been, and it's not like I had something bad to say about it or that it was just like, I don't know.
It didn't interest you.
It didn't interest me. You know, I just wasn't like, oh, I got to watch Insecure. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, okay. But for whatever reason, I connected to the photograph and also been going to, like, I just like going to movies now all the time. And so I went to go see it and I feel like this is important to say. How many times have you went to go see a romantic comedy or a romantic movie with some random white people?
Or Jennifer Lopez.
Or Jennifer Lopez. And, you know, you didn't think twice about it. So why do we think twice when it comes to supporting our own people? You feel me? So I had never really had an opportunity to really see Issa in her element or as an actress like that because, like I said, I had seen clips of Insecure, but I wasn't in it like that. Mm-hmm. Right? So I saw it and it was beautiful. She's beautiful. I was captivated by her. I really felt like this was her emergence as an actress. She was so comfortable on camera and the lighting and the shots. And, you know, like, just her skin, is just the beauty of it was just really striking to me.
And
Lakeith. I did see that it was a whole discussion about whether or not Lakeith was attractive or not.
What?
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. It was a whole conversation about whether or not he's attractive.
Oh, I think so.
I think that together, the whole movie was just a beautiful story. And I saw that some people were saying, like, it's slow or whatever. It's not an action movie. It's a love story. It's also a story about how in life, sometimes certain people, you know, certain situations don't work out, so you can work out. And if you choose to learn from your family's mistakes, if that makes sense. So, like, you don't have to keep repeating the same behavior. And that's, I feel like that's was at play too in the movie. But overall, it was just a beautiful movie. I went on Valentine's Day. And it was just interesting being in the movies on Valentine's Day, watching this type of movie with my dude that, you know, we trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, we in the same place, really. Like, what do you want this to be? Because, you know, it can very possibly be that we may miss each other right now if you don't figure out, you know, if we don't figure out what we want. Mm. And I have realized it's not just him. I am also an equal part of the problem because I like to have my cake and eat it too. And so I'm like very much so easy to point out everything somebody else is doing wrong. But meanwhile, I'm doing everything that he's doing wrong and then some other stuff that nobody, that I think nobody know about. But I'm still doing it. And then I just like, I have like amnesia. I'd be like, oh, that didn't, you know, like my spirit would be like, oh.
I didn't do it like that.
I didn't, no. It wasn't like that. No, that don't count.
I think I have that problem too. Yeah. I had that problem.
Yeah, I think we have the same birthday. So we Aries, like it's very likely we
but
have
I've been
the
doing
same.
Really good though. I've been, you know, having very honest conversations with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's how I felt. I was like, I was sitting there watching something that made me think. Mm. It was beautifully shot. She is, in my opinion, I think she had an amazing performance. I also am just happy, like, I mean, like, little things like how people were also criticizing Tyler Perry for the wigs and things in that movie, the recent movie he has on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's hair and wardrobe and everything in this movie was beautiful. Like, Issa's hair was just like, you know what I mean?
I saw it.
It was gorgeous. Like, I'm telling you, it's gorgeous. It's like, it's so good, it makes me want to go back and now watch Insecure.
She had that Queen Latifah. That hair was just laid.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And that black beauty that I saw was like, baby, you got me. And I'll be right there watching the other movie with the Asian guy or the Indian guy.
Yeah.
You see Indian, right?
Indian, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all better leave me alone.
Well, Asian, Indian, Pacific calendar.
I got the producer laughing at me. He's laughing at me.
No, it's fine. I always get the same box on the forms.
It's true, but I'm saying I'm going to be right there watching. You know? Yeah. I think sometimes what happens with me is that people take my lack of support of certain things as shade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not shade unless I say it's shade. Because I'm very good at saying, like, I'll tell you if it's shade. If it's some shady going on, I would say it. But my lack of support for Insecure was not about shade. I just didn't, at the time, I was watching all type, everything but that. And it didn't appeal to me for some reason.
Yeah, I watched Insecure on the back end. Like, after everybody was done with the hype, I was like, can we just go back and just watch it? And it's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. You know?
Yeah. I'm more of like a, I like Phil's romantic films, you know, and this wasn't really a comedy either. This was just romantic.
Yeah, that's what I read. I read that it just kind of tells a story.
It tells a story.
There's nothing jarring. There's nothing that's kind of like, there's no twist. There's no like.
It kind of feels like you have it's like a camera that's been put into someone's family's lives.
Mm.
And it kind of shows how things are intertwined, how things fall apart, and you see it. Actually, you know what it actually reminds me of? It reminded me of that show that was on, I think it was on Showtime or whatever, but it showed The Affair.
Mm.
You know, there's a show on one of the networks where it showed like the perspective of the affair of the situation from two different people.
Yeah, so it
will show the same situation one way and then it'll come back and show the same situation another from another perspective.
Oh, cute.
So it has some of those elements in there. So you will see a situation play out one way and then later on in the story, it'll show you what you didn't see in the first take of how it played out.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, when you hear a song, you hear a song reference.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these movies are doing similar things.
Mm.
And it's funny that you did mention Queen Latifah, because Queen Latifah did pave the way for this type of movie.
Oh, for sure.
Queen Latifah was doing this way before it became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to give Queen Latifah her props. Because I do remember watching, it was some...
Just Right with Her in Common.
Just Right with Her in Common. And then she had that other movie where it was the white man.
Uh-huh.
Remember, they were skiing and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that was the movie touched me so good. I think that movie had me crying. Mm-hmm. It touched me good.
Oh, Queen Latifah, she has some good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then where did she perform? She performed something recently, too. Didn't she sing something for Kobe?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought I saw her somewhere singing.
Maybe. You know, it made me sad, so I kind of tuned out a lot of the Kobe stuff.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Well, speaking of Issa, you know, I just filmed a promo for her.
When is it coming out?
I'm not sure. They said February. So okay. She has radio. It's a record label. And they asked me to film the promo for their big announcement. So I play a jogger.
Okay.
And I'm jogging in the morning, getting ready for my day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I can't wait till it comes out. I'm sure it's going to be accompanied by a press release.
That's all beautiful. Like there's a sunset or sunrise. And it's up on the mountains, and it's really, really pretty. Mm. So I just hope I look good in it.
Oh, you will. Because the way they shoot black people, baby, they get it right. They make us look so succulent.
Yeah.
I was in there feeling some kind of way, and when they had that love scene, they were in there romping on each other.
Oh.
But you're going to have to definitely tell us.
I will, as soon as I get more information. I asked a couple of days ago, but.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's like anything in entertainment is a hurry up and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Are up and wait. And we have some recent developments I'm not going to talk about yet until it comes to full, you know, fruition.
Oh, yeah.
But some things have been resolved. And we will, you know, I'll be talking about it once, you know, it's fully resolved. I like talking about things before it's done.
Right.
But it's done. And we just need to make sure it's, you know.
Good to go.
Good to go. And ready to announce. But Love Muffins, thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate the support. I see the tweets. I see the Instagram messages. I also want to give a shout out to the Friend Zone.
Oh, yes. Love the Friend Zone, Dustin, Fran, and Asante.
Yep. The Friend Zone gave us a huge shout out.
Yes.
And I listened to it, and it was so lovely. Mm-hmm. It was so kind. And it was very, you know, they gave me, as one person said, I like to hear that they're giving B. Scott his flowers. Mm. And I really felt that way.
Yeah.
It was super sweet. Me and Dustin, we actually we appeared in The Skinny together.
Mm-hmm.
With Jesse.
Sorry, I don't know why. It's
just that, and that's another thing too. I always call him Jesse when it's just Jesse. Jesse. I mean, anyway. So we were in The Skinny together, and I feel like we all bonded doing the tape of that movie. It was hot as hell that summer. We were all like just trying to get through it. It was a fun time. Mm-hmm. And so it felt nice that, you know, to get the love and support. And that's what we need more of. We need more black people supporting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that was good because I felt it was really sweet. It's kind.
Very kind.
So Love Muffins, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And of course, until next time, double kisses. Mwah, mwah. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.